I want to share with you what the Bible has to say on the important subject of the church, What an important thing. And I hope that you can draw the conclusion that I've been able to draw after studying and researching what the Bible has to say about the subject and understanding what God's will is for the church. There's one word that summarizes what God has in my assessment about the church, and that is hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Right.
When you understand God's design for the church, it's just one word, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for the church. It's not something that you're going to be ashamed of. It's something you want to tell the world about. A few months ago, my son and my daughter-in-law were at the dinner table, and they said they had something to tell us. And they told us that we're going to be grandparents. I just couldn't jump up from the dinner table. Hallelujah. That's one of those hallelujah moments, too. Well, when you discover the church, it's a hallelujah moment.
Amen.
Thank you, God. And I hope that by sharing with you what the Bible has to say on the subject of the church, that if you're not a member of the Lord's church, you're going to want to be. And if you're a member of the Lord's church, you're not going to be ashamed of the church, but that you're going with passion and you're going to with concern for others, you're going to want to tell them about the Lord's church, the church that Jesus died for. The church is a vital part of God's plan to save man. If you remember nothing else I'm going to say in this lesson, remember that. The church is a vital part. It's an essential part of God's plan to save man. The church is part of God's plan to save mankind. And so this afternoon, I know when I say this, you're going to say, oh boy, how can he do it? There's no way. But I've tried my very best. I have reduced it down. I want to share with you five undeniable facts about the church from the Bible. That means I'm not going to spend much time on those five. If I'm only going to speak 25 minutes, 20 to 25 minutes, I don't have a lot of time, and I don't. But I'm going to do my very best to do justice. And I've been back there working on it because this is a two-hour sermon. Believe me, I can preach 2 hours on, 3 hours on this sermon, but I'm not. I'm going to do my very best to speak up and shut up. And so there'll be a lot that I'm going to leave out. And that means that you have to get the CD that I'm going to carry with me. Okay, and I'll just send it back to you. You'll get that later on. What's the first? To understand what the Bible says, if it was the only book that you ever read, what would you come to know about the church? Five undeniable facts. The first is you would understand the purpose of the church. You would understand the purpose of the church. It was read to us a few months ago, Ephesians chapter 3. If you have your copy of God's word, turn there. The Apostle Paul talks about the purpose of the church. And when you understand the purpose of the church, you want to say, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Listen to what Paul says to the saints. And I want to read verses 10 and 11. And then I want to help you to understand the manifold wisdom, the mystery, the purpose of why the church exists today. The King James says, to the intent, now. Now in this dispensation, in dispensation unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places that God had made known to the angels. God had revealed unto the angels that they might know by the church, the ecclesia, that they may know by the church, the ecclesia, those who have called out of the world, those who have obeyed the gospel, those who are saved, the manifold, the many splendid ways that God can bless people, the wisdom of God, the mystery. The church had been a mystery for years, but now in this dispensation, God has made known the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose. The church is not an afterthought. The church has been in the mind of God since the beginning of time. The eternal design, the eternal purpose, the eternal purpose of the church. What is it? What is the eternal purpose of the church? That now, God be thanked, that is revealed by the Holy Spirit and made known. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Look at verse number 3. Listen to what Paul says as he unfolds the purpose of the church. How Paul says that by revelation, God has made known unto me, a preacher, the mystery, the wisdom of God, wrote aforetime in few words, whereby when you read this book, you may understand my knowledge and the mystery of Christ, which in other ages, for years, the mystery has been kept hidden, but now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit of God. Here it is, that the Gentiles might be fellow heirs and of the same body. God's purpose for the church is that Jews and Gentiles could all be members of the same body, the same church. In order to understand this, you need to go back to Genesis 12 and verse number 3. But God made a promise to Abraham. He says, Abraham, through thy seed one day, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. God has selected the Jews as his chosen people, not because they were great in numbers, but God chose the Jews to be his people, but not the Gentiles. But God had a plan that through Abraham, through Jesus Christ, that one day us Gentiles, who have been separated from God, like the Jews as well, from God, we're going to be brought back in fellowship with God through the church. And that's what the purpose of the church is, that one day Jews and Gentiles can be members of the same body. God wants a relationship with us. And how is that possible? The church is a type of Garden of Eden. That we lost that fellowship with God because of sin back in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15. But now it is restored in the church, the manifold wisdom of God, the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is whereby everybody, whether you're Jew, Gentile, male or female, black or white, it doesn't matter. We can all come back to God, not in the church of our choice. Did you hear what I just said? Not in the church of our choice, but back in the same body. What's the body? It's the church. God wants us all to be members of the same body. And if the Bible was the only book I ever read, there would be only one church in West Palm Beach. Amen. It's the Lord's church. There wouldn't be a church of your choice. Jesus died for us all to be members of the same body. Look at verse 6 again. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ. In Christ, where do we take of the promise that God made to Abraham? It's in Christ. Well, how do you get into Christ? You get into his body. Then what is his body? The body is the church, Ephesians 1, verse 22 and 23. Look over in Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse number 16. The Bible said that he might reconcile. God wants to bring us back, both Jews and Gentiles, that he might reconcile both. Well, who's both? Jews and Gentiles under God in one body. Amen. In one church. God is not pleased with a church here and a church there. Here, church. God's not pleased with that. That's not God's purpose. That's not God's design. God's design is that one day everybody, Jews and Gentiles, could be members of the same body, this one body that Jesus established, this one body that Jesus died for. That's God's plan.
That's right.
Jesus talked about this in his ministry. Turn to John 10, verse 16. In John 10, verse 16, Jesus talks about indirectly the promise God made to Abraham. And John 10, 16, he says, other sheep I have. He wasn't talking about denominational churches. He was talking about Gentiles. And I don't mean disrespectful to anyone. He wasn't talking about a Mormon church. He wasn't talking about a Baptist church. He wasn't talking about a Pentecostal church. He was talking about us. You see, the Jews had a relationship with God. And Jesus said, other sheep I have. which are not of this fold. Them must I bring, and there shall be one shepherd and one fold, not fold of your choice, not the church of your choice. I am so thankful that God wants a relationship with me. And how is it that God obtains a relationship with me? Is when I get into the church. That's the purpose of the church, is where Jews and Gentiles could be fellow heirs and of the same body. The Bible reveals, the Bible explains the purpose of the church. The second thing, the Bible explains the promise of the church. I wish I had time to go back to Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15, where the church was first promised. But I don't have time. But let's go to Matthew chapter 16. Look at verse 13. Jesus talking to the apostles. And he goes up to them and he says, whom? Oh, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And Peter spoke up and says, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. Others say you're Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And he looked at Peter, who or whom do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, Peter, God be thanked that flesh and blood, man didn't tell you this. You didn't get this from some seminary. You didn't get this from some school. My Father has revealed this unto you. And he says to Peter, thou art Peter. And upon this rock, upon this confession that I am the Son of God, I might build my church. No. Jesus says, I will build my church. Why? Because the church is going to bring no Gentiles in back into fellowship with God. It's going to bring us. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. What's the purpose of the church? That we can have fellowship with God after we obey the gospel. That we can be in the presence of God. God is in this place. This place where the church worships. And we make up the church as a body of believers. And God is in the fellowship with us. And that's the purpose of the church. Where Jews and Gentiles, we can have fellowship with God. Where do we have that? In the church. In the church. And Jesus says, I will build my church. Verse 19. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. Nothing is going to stop me from establishing my church or my kingdom. The terms are used interchangeably. And he says, I'm going to give you, verse 19, Peter, the keys to the kingdom. One day, Peter, I'm going to let you open up the doors to the church. And on the day of Pentecost, Peter opened the doors, and guess what? They have never been closed.
Amen.
There's no need on Sunday morning to say, now the doors of the church have opened. The doors have been open, and they have never been closed, because Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, gave Peter the power to open up the doors. And when he opened up the doors, 3,000 souls came walking through. Oh, the promise of the church. Now look at Matthew 16, verse 28. And Matthew 16, verse 28, Peter said, there'll be some of you, Jesus said rather, there'll be some of you standing here which shall not taste of death until you see the kingdom, until you see the church come with what? Power. The church has come, is here, and it came with power. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. But hallelujah. God be thanked that the purpose of the church is where we can have fellowship with God, Jews and Gentiles. And Jesus says, I'm going to build it. Some people say that he didn't establish the church. Jesus says, I'm going to build it in the lifetime of some of you standing here. A thought, if the church has not been established, there's some old people somewhere on this earth. There's some old people somewhere on this earth. But Jesus says, I will build my church in the lifetime of some of you standing here. And he did. Because he promised to build it. And one thing, Titus 1 verse 2, it's impossible for God to lie. It's impossible. When Jesus speaks, it's going to come true. The third thing about the church, the Bible explains the pre-preparation stage of the church. The Bible explains the pre-preparation stage of the church. That what happened right before the church started. Turn to Matthew chapter 3. Look at verse number 2 and 3. We see the pre-preparation stage of the church. John the Baptist was one of the first. When John the Baptist started preaching, notice what he said. People, get ready. Get ready for what? The kingdom is at hand. The pre-preparation stage. Jesus promised to build it. God has a purpose for it. And John the Baptist saying, now get ready. It's at hand. It's about an explosion. A power is about to occur. Something great is about to happen. Look at Matthew chapter 4. Look at verse number 17. When Jesus started preaching and he went through the villages, what did he preach? He told the people to what? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. John the Baptist talked about the pre-preparation stage of the kingdom. Jesus preached about the pre-preparation stage of the church. Oh, turn to Matthew chapter 10. And look at verse number 7. When Jesus sent out the 12 apostles, and he told them to go and preach, and he told people to do what? Repent, for the kingdom is at hand. It's been prophesied in Daniel 2:44. It's been prophesied in Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2. But now the promise is about to be unfolded. People, get ready. Something great is about to happen. Turn to Luke chapter 10 and look at verse number 9. Luke chapter 10, look at verse number 9. He sent out the 70 disciples and he told them, as you go and you heal people, tell them the kingdom is nigh. The kingdom is near. It hasn't yet started. But the kingdom, the church, is about to be established. What's the purpose of it? Jews and Gentiles at that time, who had a fellowship with God? Jews. At that time, who had relationship with God? The Jews, not us. But something is about to happen whereby we can call God our Father. We could pray to God. It was about to happen. Turn to Acts chapter 1. Look at verse number 3. They had crucified our Lord. And he came up out of that grave early one Sunday morning. He came out of that grave with power. But before he ascended back to heaven, the Bible says he spent 40 days talking to the apostles about what? The kingdom. Why? It's important. Before he went back to heaven, he spent 40 days talking about the pre-preparation stage of the kingdom. Something is going to occur when you receive power that we told Abraham about, that we promised back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, after Adam and Eve sinned, God said the day is going to come when you shall bruise his heel and he's going to bruise your head. And Jesus died. That was a bruising of his heel. But when he came up out of that grave, when he came up out of that grave early that Sunday morning, Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, he bruised the head of Satan. When he says, I'm alive forevermore. I once was dead, but now I'm alive. Resurrection was a blow to Satan because Satan couldn't stop the establishment of the church. Oh, the church is a wonderful institution. It's a wonderful institution. The church has been established. The church has been established. Jesus promised it. And in that pre-preparation stage, there were those who talked about it was coming. Now let's go to point number 4. Point number 4 is the Bible explained the celebration of the birth of the church. The Bible explains the celebration of the birth of the church. Turn to Mark 9, verse 1. In Mark 9, verse 1, Jesus told the apostles that the church was going to come with power. You remember that? That when the church was going to be established, it was going to come with power. Now turn to Luke chapter 24 and look at verse number 49. He tells them to go to the city of Jerusalem and tarry and wait until they receive what? Power. Go to the city of Jerusalem and tarry there and wait. Don't leave. You don't fully understand the concept of the church. But when that power comes upon you, you understand the importance, the significance of the church. And they were in the city of Jerusalem tarrying. Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. Why were they waiting? That's what the Lord commanded them to do. And the Bible says, as they were in the city of Jerusalem tarry, there came a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they, who's they? The 12, Matthias now numbered with them. They were filled. The Holy Spirit filled that house, and now they have what power? They have power. When power comes, something else is going to come. The church. The church is going to come with power. What purpose? That Jews and Gentiles could be fellow heirs and of the same body. And Peter stood up and preached. And he told them, as some suppose, when they began to speak in the different dialects, the multiple language, these men are drunk. Peter stood up and said, verse 11, these men are not drunk. As some of you think, it's too early in the morning. Even the Jews, they don't get intoxicated this early. They are not drunk, but this is that which was prophesied by Joel in Joel 2, verse 28. And Peter almost wanted to say those words, hallelujah. Peter wanted to say, thank God, this is what has been prophesied. We've been waiting on this moment. Something great is about to happen this day. And Peter began to tell them, look at Acts 2, verse 36. And he said, Jesus now is Lord of lords. And he's what? King of kings. A king has to have a what? A kingdom. Well, what's the kingdom? The church. What's the church? The kingdom. And said, Jesus now is made a king. And they said, what must we do to be a part of that kingdom? What must we do to be saved? What must we do to get into the kingdom where the saved people are? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, by the authority of Jesus Christ. Baptism is an act of obedience that puts you in the kingdom where the saved people are. How do I know that? Look at verse 41. Acts 2, 41. Then they that gladly received his word were what? Baptized. And the same day that was added unto them, added to whom? The apostles. Well, who are the apostles? The saved. Those who have been called out. The ecclesia. And these 3,000 souls were added to the church that had been prophesied. Genesis 3, verse 15, that had been predicted, and Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 3, that now is about to come into fruition. Now look at Acts 2, 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people. Here it is. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be what? We're the saved people. They're in the church. Why? Because that's where God puts them. I don't have a church to put you in. I can't add you to the church. I can't take you away. There's no man that can add you. The Lord adds you to the church when you comply with his will. We understand the purpose of the church. We understand the promise of the church. We understand the pre-preparation stage of the church. Now we see the birth of the church. It started on the day of Pentecost. Now I've got a question for you. That was A.D. 33. Which church does exist today you think he was talking about in Acts 2:47? Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church. Was it the Pentecostals? No, they didn't exist. Was it the Mormons? They didn't exist. Was it the Methodists? They didn't exist. Was it the Baptists? They didn't exist. And you can go on and on and on. Was it the Catholics? No, it didn't exist. There was only one church. And that's the one that Jesus promised to build. If Jesus built the church, what name you think he put on the church? Any name will do. No, he put his name on it. Because the church belongs to him. He purchased the church with his blood. It would be wrong to put Dan Jenkins' church out there. It'd be wrong to put Sam Jones' church out there. We didn't die for the church. Jesus died for the church. Now you tell me, by whose authority did we put anybody's name up there? Jesus promised to build his church. Why? Why? Because God had a plan before the world was even formed. If church is not an afterthought, whereby Jews and Gentiles could be fellow heirs and of the same body. And on that day, those Jews was added to the church. And later on in Acts 10, we have the first Gentiles, converts, being added to the church. And God had made a promise back in Isaiah chapter 2, that when the Gentiles, Isaiah 62 verse 2, when the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness and all the kings thy glory, I'm going to give the people in the church a new name. God promised that he was going to give the people in his church that he started a new name, an everlasting name, when the Gentiles shall see God's righteousness. And in Acts 11 verse 26, we see the Gentiles seeing God's righteousness, and the Bible says they were first called Methodists at Antioch. No. I don't mean to be disrespectful, I'm just showing you. You can't put anything. Where do you get those other names from? Not in the Bible. If you only stay with the Bible, if it's the only book you ever read, where in the world would you get a Mormon's church, a Baptist church, a Pentecostal church? They're not in the Bible. But the Church of Christ is. Think about that, people. Think about that. The Church of Christ is. Why? Because it was promised. Why? Because God has a purpose with it, for it. And what's the purpose? That we all could be members of the same body. For you to be a member of the church of your choice, that's not God's design. That's not God's plan. The church was established on the day of Pentecost. Colossians 3, turn to Colossians chapter 1, rather. Colossians 1, verse 13. Those who had obeyed the gospel, those who had been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, in Colossians 1, verse 14, the Bible says God had translated them out of darkness and to the marvelous kingdom. Those people who are saved are translated. They're transformed out of this world and to the great and marvelous kingdom. Well, what's the kingdom? The ecclesia. When do you become a part of the ecclesia? When you have obeyed the gospel, then the Lord transformed you out of the world and to the kingdom where all the saved people are. Today, where are the saved people? They're in the Lord's church. Well, which church is the Lord's church? The one that Jesus built. Well, which church did Jesus build? You tell me. Of all the churches on the earth and all the churches in the Bible, I mean in the world, which one is mentioned in the Bible? Only the Church of Christ. Only the Church of Christ. And that brings me to my final point, number 5. We have the birth of the church. The Bible also talks about the reward. The reward of those who are in the church who remain faithful unto the end. The Bible talks about a victorious victory, a great victory for those who are in the Lord's church and they remain faithful to the end. Turn to Revelation chapter 2 and look at verse number 7. Talking to the church at Ephesus, the church that had left its first love, some of them, he challenged them to come back. He says, to those who overcome, to those who are members of the church, the Lord's church, if you overcome this world and you remain faithful, one day, listen to this, you'll be able to sit at the table and eat with me. You'll be able to sit at the table and eat with the Lord and with God. Don't you want to have fellowship with God? In order to have fellowship with God, you need to get in a place where God has placed the saved people, and God places the saved people in the church, not the church of your choice, but in his son's church. The church that his son died for. The church that his son purchased with his own blood. Turn to Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. He says to the people in Smyrna, he says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee what? A crown of life that fadeth not away. To those who are faithful. Look in Revelation chapter 3, look at verse 21. He says to those at Laodicea, to those who are in the church, if you would just overcome, you'll be able to sit with me on my Father's throne. You'll be able to sit at my Father's throne if you overcome, if you're a member of the Lord's church and you remain faithful unto death. How do I know the church and the kingdom are the same thing? Let me mention this and I close. Turn back to Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. John says something here that lets us know that the kingdom and the church are the same thing. And that Jesus established the church, which is the kingdom. The kingdom has come with power. The church and the kingdom, they're the same thing. Talking about those in verse 5 who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Those who have been redeemed by the blood, who have been saved from their sins. Look at verse 6. And he has made us a kingdom, some translation says. He's made us a kingdom. He's made us the church. The church and the kingdom are the same. And John says there's no difference. The church has not been postponed. The kingdom has not been delayed. The kingdom is here on earth. And those who are saved are in the church. Are you a member of the Lord's church? I welcome you to a study this afternoon. I've got my afternoon free. I'll be willing and ready to sit down and discuss the church with anyone to help you to better understand the importance, the significance of the church. The church is a vital part of God's plan. On the day of judgment, on the day of judgment, for those who are not in the church, you can't be saved. And I want to share with you one verse and the lesson is yours. Turn to 1 Peter 4. Look at verse 17. Peter says, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. The house that refers to the church of God. Well, which God? The God that purchased the church with his blood. Well, which God died on the cross? Christ. Judgment must begin at the church of Christ. And if it first start at us, what shall the end be of them who have not obeyed the gospel? Everybody in the church of Christ is not going to heaven. Let me say that. But those who are not in the church, what shall the end be? If you only read the Bible, what would you know about the church? The church is a vital part of God's plan. It was part of God's design, whereby Jews and Gentiles could be fellow heirs in the same body. The church was promised, and Jesus didn't go back on his promise. He promised to build the church. He did. The church was in its pre-preparation stages. And when it's in its pre-preparation stage, John the Baptist and others talked about the church was near. And then the Bible celebrates the birth of the church on the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached the keys. Jesus said he was going to give him the keys to the kingdom. And on the day of Pentecost, Peter used those keys by preaching the very first gospel sermon. He opened up the doors of the church on the day of Pentecost. And those who were saved were what? Added to the church. Not the church of their choice. Which church were they added to? The Lord's church. The church was born on the day of Pentecost. Then, and number 5, those who are in the church have something to look forward to. If you remain faithful, a reward. To be able to eat at God's table, to be able to wear a crown that fadeth not away, to be able to sit at the throne of God for those who are in the church. But those who are not in the church, what shall the end be? What shall the end be? It won't be heaven. Not because I say so. Because the Bible says so. I plead with you today. If you're not a member of the Lord's church, please study with us. Please say, preacher, there are some things I need to understand about my church. I'll be glad to. Brother Dan, Brother Dave, the elders here will be glad to study with you. Don't go through life confused about the church. It is a vital part of God's plan. Now, God loves you. God loves you. And God wants a relationship with you. But in order to have that relationship with you, you need to obey the gospel. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Just like Jesus died, you must die. Just like Jesus was buried, you must be buried. Just like Jesus rose that on that third day, you're going to rise the same day and walk in the newness of life. And when you come up out of that watery grave of baptism, you don't join the church. The Lord will add you to the church, to the body. And if you are in that body and you remain faithful unto death, there's a reward that waits you. When Jesus says to you, well done, my good and faithful servant, come on in. Let me introduce you to my Father. And he calls you by name. But if you're in the church and you're not faithful, on that day, he'll say, I don't know you. I don't know who you are. Yeah, I went to church every Sunday. Just because you go to church doesn't mean you're faithful. It's the life you live. The life you live. God wants you to be in heaven forever. Because heaven is in eternity. If you're here this afternoon, why don't you consider turning your life over to Jesus? Why don't you consider spending this afternoon studying God's word and broadening your perspective about the church or about baptism or about God's love? I'd love to study with you. I would love to fellowship with you. I would love to have that opportunity. And if you're here this afternoon and you're ready to turn your life over, won't you come as we together stand and sing?